Well, it's time to go deep with the Atlanta Falcons, find out what they really are. We bring in from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, D. Orlando Ledbetter. And D. Led, last time we saw the Falcons, at least really study them, playoffs 2011 season, and they kind of went out with a whimper against the New York Giants. What has changed for the 6-0 Atlanta Falcons team?
Well, they went out and got new coordinators and Dirk Koetter on the offensive side of the ball and Mike Nolan on the defensive side of the ball. The players have not changed dramatically, with the exception of the trade with the Eagles for Asante Samuel. So it's the same group basically going out there and executing under some new schemes and new strategy.
D-Led, I guess the question is here. I mean, we're trying to, this football team trying to find itself. The Falcons seem to have hit their stride very early in the season. In your eyes, how legitimate is this football team?
I want to see some more things from them. It's a legitimate passing attack, and the special team units are pretty solid. The defense has kind of calmed down the pass attack. The pass defense has improved a little bit. The run defense has not improved, but what they've been able to do to kind of mask that is create the turnovers at an alarming rate. So I don't know if that's the formula for victory now in the passing league era that we're in, but it worked for the Saints a few years back. So I don't know if we, you know, the old numbers that you used to look at is, you know, whether they were in the top 10 and rush defense, pass defense, and so forth, those numbers don't seem to be adding up for the Falcons right now. But they're hiding them, they're taking the ball off people. And that's been, I don't know if you can sustain that over a 17-game, season, regular season, plus one playoff game, or you know, a 20-game season if you're going to take it all the way. But that certainly appears early that they're going the potent offense, opportunistic defense route.
Well, being an opportunistic defense against the Philadelphia Eagles offense that has been overly generous with the football, I think not a bad mix for the Atlanta Falcons. Let's talk a little bit about Matt Ryan. I mean, last year the Falcons went out, they made that trade to move up in the draft to get Julio Jones. A lot of criticism at the time. It seems to really have balanced out the weapons that Matt Ryan has with Roddy White, with Julio Jones, with the ageless Tony Gonzalez. It's just a as balanced and explosive a passing attack as I think I've seen in the NFL this year.
Oh, yeah, they've done a great job early on. People will probably catch up to him at some point. But the key has been that Matt's been able to make the reads. He's seen enough in 68 games now in the NFL to where if you're doubling Roddy and leaving Julio in one-on-one, then, I've got somebody open somewhere, and he's been doing a good job of finding the open guy, whether if it's Tony. It seems like teams have elected to double Roddy and Julio and leave Tony open, and the old guy showing he can still do a little bit. So that's been the key to how they've been operating so efficiently in the passing game.
Is Matt Ryan, in your eyes, D-Led, is he an elite quarterback in the NFL?
I think he's climbing, and he's certainly, going up the ladder there. Based on his regular season record, you have to put him up there with the best. The only thing left is for him to enjoy some postseason success. So I certainly think people, need to just enjoy the ride here. He hasn't shown anything that would indicate he's going to backslide or fall off of the ascent that he's on. It's been a pretty steady climb for the kid, and now you can kind of see where, hey, he's going to probably get there if you leave him alone. And maybe he's not, doesn't have a strongest arm, but he can read defenses and he knows where the ball's supposed to go, and he's pretty accurate. That's usually a pretty lethal combination.
D-Led, let me ask you this. You have a unique perspective. Obviously, Michael Vick playing against the Atlanta Falcons is always something special. Do the fans care about that anymore?
They still like him. He's still got a base here. But no, I think we've moved on here, and the fans have seemed to move on. They, you know, they like to see him do well, not against their team, but you know, he had a big following. It was just so hot here in the early 2000s with him, you know, and the Falcons coming off of not, you know, being much of a winner for three decades, and you know, all of a sudden they have the most exciting player in the league, and they're in every game from week to week, which, you know, wasn't customary in these parts before Michael Vick's arrival. So he's going to always have fans here in Atlanta, and they're going to root for him when they, you know, not playing the Eagles. So, you know, that is something that everybody's moved past, and, you know, it's kind of hugging each other and wishing everybody the best at this point.
The daily topic of conversation around here with Michael is the turnovers and the rash of turnovers here in the last season and a half. Was he like that in Atlanta as well? What was it difficult for him to be consistent securing the football?
Yes, it was. And I talked to him and Coach Andy about it yesterday because, you know, I saw you know, all the games here during his tenure, whether I was on the beat or not. But it looked like 06 a lot when he was putting it on the ground on a regular basis. I mean, they lost to Charlie Fry and the Cleveland Browns that year, which you all almost repeated in the opener here.
Yes.
But what it is Mike is, you know, when he starts, and Jim Moore used to call it athletic arrogance, where he's trying to do too much outside of the play and gets reckless with the ball. And that should have been corrected early on in his career. I think Dan Reeves was on his way to doing it. Jim Moore decided to live with it, and Coach Andy doesn't appear ready to live with it much longer. So it's something that has reoccurred throughout his career. You know, they tried to teach him the slot. They brought in Terry Pendleton to do that. He won't do it. He keeps getting hurt. You know, so that cycle's repeating. The fumbling and the interceptions. And he said it yesterday, he said, hey, I'm instinctive. If I see the lane, I'm going to run. And but he said three of his interceptions occurred from when he saw the lane, tried to run, then tried to get the ball down the field. That he's trying to do too much. So don't throw that ball down the field if the guy's not open. And, you know, accuracy was always an issue, and he seems to know that now. At least he said it was yesterday. So he's got to stay within the play. You know, it's the West Coast system. The plays work. Trust the play. Don't try to do too much. You know, take the check down if that's what you got to do. Keep it moving. And that seems to be the problem up there this year. And like I said, it was you can go back to the game books in 2006 and see where this has happened before for him.
It was your sense after talking to Andy Reid in the conference call with the Atlanta reporters that he wasn't going to, you know, kind of accept this for a whole lot longer, that it's almost a game-to-game situation now?
Yeah, that's my sense. And, you know, I go back to the 90s with Andy when I was covering the Packers in Green Bay, and he was my tight ends coach. So, yeah, he's not that whole we're average thing, you know, he's not going to tolerate that. You know, he'll sit Michael if he believes that Foles can help him win, and he's going to stay with the offense. You know, they went through this with Brett Favre. You know, they were about to yank him and put in Mark Brunell back in the day. So he's from that Holmgren tree, and, you know, you have to get on their page, not your own. So Michael's instincts are going to have to be calmed down, and he's going to have to stay within the plays, or Coach Andy will certainly, you know, do what he thinks is best to keep the Eagles moving in what he believes to be the proper direction.
Last question, D-Led. How do you think this – Atlanta defense will attack Philadelphia? You know, we saw last year in Atlanta a strong offensive performance from the Eagles. They seem to match up well with their skill position people. Do you come after Michael Vick if you're Mike Nolan?
No. I tried to get him to go there this week, and they've done two different things thus far against Cam Newton and Robert Griffin III. One was they went after Cam. That didn't work. He ran for 80-some yards, and if he doesn't fumble in the last minute, they win the game. Against RG3, they shadowed him. They didn't even rush. They were like, hey, you can throw the ball. You can throw it, but you're not running. And so he has run one rush for 7 yards and then gets knocked out of the game on that run one rush. So I think with Mike, they're going to do the contain thing and take his running lanes away and dare him to throw the ball. But they'll selectively, do that blitz that seems to work against him, blitz that nickel off the right slot. And seems to be that he doesn't see that blitz a lot, and, it hurts him a lot. Going back to Anton Wingfield when he was with Minnesota,
yep.
You see every team kind of, throw that at Vic because it seems like it's a blind spot in this game there. So, look for that. They'll pick their spots on blitzing him. They'll try to contain him, I think, like they did RG3.
Yeah. Hey, great stuff. D. Orlando, Ledbetter Atlanta, Journal-Constitution. The undefeated Atlanta Falcons coming to town on Sunday. Eagles need a win. D-Led, thank you so much for your time.
Sure, no problem, Dave. I'm looking forward to give me at least one cheesesteak.
You better watch it down here. It catches up with you very quickly.
I know. I'm going to hit the treadmill here right now.
All right, D. Orlando Ledbetter, thanks for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.